Some people do anything for fame. We're going to talk about that tonight. This morning, whenever you're listening. Pain in the morning. 9:24. Thursday, headed into a weekend. The twilight of a weekend. The last weekend of the month of September. And that month probably moved even slower than other months if you have school children at home. You're trying to pull a rabbit out of a hat every day and be their mom, be their dad, be their coach, be their teacher, be their everything. Not easy, but I'll tell you what. Never a more important time in your kids' lives to have somebody like you, so keep the faith. Get a bottle of wine, unwind, do something. Try to stay in the game as best as you can because those young kids need you because the government has let them down and let you down. So when all else fails, form a tight family unit and because that's what you can control. You can't control all this other nonsense. So we'll be talking about fame today. Hunter Biden and all these these people who love the money, love the fame, love the partying, love the chicks, love the hoes. It's no other way to put it. Love the cars, love the fast lane. Don't like to work that hard, though. Must be nice, right? A life for thee, not for me and you. Hey, we had podcast episode 42 on the Big Wednesday podcast, but we didn't cut that loose until late. So that's probably fresh on your downloads. Check that out. We'll get some stories out on that tomorrow. We broke some news on there in a couple instances. So check that out and spread it around if you can to get around these social media overlords. We noticed today we lost a shit ton of people on Twitter and not from anything we did. And it doesn't even matter. But it goes again to my theory, which is more of a working theory or a proven theory now, that they are clamping down on conservatives before the election. And because that's what small people with small brains and small penises do. The Napoleon complex, right? For a reason.
LJ, get up here. Turn off MASH.
The Thursday podcast is usually, I usually have a lot of fun on the Thursday podcast because I'm, I get the weight of that big Wednesday podcast off of me and all the work that goes into it. And I'm not going to complain. This is my life. I enjoy what I'm doing. We're going to jump right into it. Hey, thanks to the folks on Patreon.com and /TruePundit and Subscribestar.com/TruePundit and the people that are tapping TruePundit.com directly for their news. We appreciate it. The folks on the subscriber-only areas watching the video podcast of this Pain in the Morning and all the other benefits you get as a subscriber, we appreciate it. You can jump in there. We're going to have a couple surprises for people next week for subscribers only. So if you have been on the fence about jumping in, good time to jump in. Be giving away some books, some signed books. Not by me. From, let's see what we got. I got a note on this today. I'll make sure this is confirmed before I run my yap. Yeah, we have some signed books by Peter Schweizer. He sent us to give out to our insiders, so we'll be giving out a number of signed books. He gave us some other books that aren't signed, and we'll be giving some of those away as well. His most recent book, Profiles in Corruption, which deals with the Bidens and Kamala Harris and a bunch of other people, a 2020 bestseller. He signed a number of those, and we appreciate it, Peter. And he's a good man. So we'll be giving those out. So jump in now, and you might find yourself with a signed book from Mr. Schweizer. And we're moving on here. Oh, yeah. So that's the deal. So that's the deal. The subscriber-only area, we have all the folks checking in. A lot of good banter going back and forth. Give it a shot. What the hell? It's like cost of two cups of coffee a month. That's it. Depending on where you get your coffee. It's a couple bucks a month. Two or three cups of coffee for the intel that we're spewing is a pretty good trade-off, I think. At least that's the feedback that I'm getting from people, long-time subscribers, and we try to keep them happy and content and deliver more than they anticipate. That's the name of the game in this environment. Give people more as much as you can, because it's hard times. And so thank you again to those folks, and we'll try to keep your experience enhanced. And if you've been on the fence, now's the time to jump in. Speaking of jumping in, let's do that right now. Hunter Biden headline: Hunter Biden received millions from the wife of ex-Moscow mayor, paid suspects allegedly tied to trafficking, that's human trafficking, had contacts with individuals linked to Chinese military, a Senate report alleges. This is in between his whoring and everything else he's up to. International playboy, Hunter Biden. Is the music picked out for this? What do we got? Whoa, Bruce checking in. I don't think that's the music we had picked out for Hunter. What do we got here? Wait a minute. I don't think Boats and Hoes is the song for Hunter. Hey, what the hell? We'll finish it up.
That's the male Mariah Carey, y'all.
That's the male Mariah Carey, y'all. Okay, that was not the music. We apologize. I'm sorry. No, wrong button.
You may cut me, man, but I'm going to wrap this chain around your head.
Okay, we're sorry. We won't play it again, Mr. Biden. We're sorry.
And Corn Pop was a bad dude. And he ran a bunch of bad boys.
You know what would be interesting? If we play a little Boats and Hoes, and then we throw some Joe Biden in there. Let's see what we got here. You can't even play the lyrics. They're so out of control. It's such a funny song. That's Pain After Dark for sure. Here we go. Let's try it.
You may cut me, man, but I'm going to wrap this. You may cut me. You may cut me, man. And Corn Pop was a bad dude. And Corn Pop was a bad dude. And he ran a bunch of bad me, man, but I'm going to wrap this chain around your head.
I'm just hitting every button at this point.
Hey, do you want to know?
I think I like the crickets, too. No, we don't want to know, pal. Oh, man, what the hell? If you can't have fun doing this, what the hell's the point in today's day and age? Anyway, let's get to some Hunter Biden music for the show and for the story. I could do that for an hour. Little Boats and Hoe mix. We'll have to work on that offline. Okay, so, oh, yeah, we'll play some Fight for Your Right to Party. We played that yesterday from the Beastie Boys. We'll go a little Sammy Hagar since we're talking about Bo. Oh, I said Bo. Bo. Not Bo. Hunter. Bo was the golden child. He was supposed to take over for Joe. That was the plan. We know a lot of folks. We want to get guys that went to prep school with Hunter and Bo down here. I just had, matter of fact, Friday, just had a Citigroup dinner. Friday night, a couple miles from Joe. Not even a mile from Joe Biden's house. It was so, and these guys went to school with the Biden boys. But anyway, it was a young guy there. It was my boss from Citi was there, and his nephew was there. And I know you guys are out there listening, so I'm not going to mention any names, but he just came down from Massachusetts to Delaware. And I said to him, he's a young guy, 21. And I said to him, yo, after we're done eating and drinking, do we have a little we have a little ritual. The new guy, you can either pay for the meal or we'll split the check. But the new guy, we go by Joe Biden's house and you have to run across his lawn without any pants on. And the Secret Service are in on it. They know it's a Citigroup thing and it's a prank and they know that you're like pledging Citigroup. So you have to do that. And there won't be any problems. It's all prearranged. And he's looking at me. And my old boss from Citigroup keeps saying, yeah, well, don't drink too much because we have to go right next door to Joe Biden's house. It was the guy looked terrified. The kid looked terrified. But yeah, don't worry about it. And he said, won't the security guards come out and do something about that? I said, security guards, those are Secret Service. No, I said, they're in on it. They know it's a prank. They know us. As soon as they see the guy running across the lawn without any pants, it's either a Citigroup prank or Bill Clinton's in town. One or the other one. But, oh, man. Okay, Sammy Hagar, let's move it. A bombshell report from the Senate Committee on Homeland Security and Governmental Affairs and the Committee on Finance makes a series of damning new allegations against Hunter Biden, the son of Democratic presidential nominee. Investigation launched after Finance Committee Chairman Charles Grassley publicly raised conflict of interest concerns about the sale of a U.S. company to a Chinese firm with ties to Hunter Biden a month before Congress was notified about a whistleblower complaint that was a catalyst for Democrats' impeachment of President Donald Trump. The Senate investigation relied on records from U.S. government, Democrat lobby groups, interviews of numerous current and former officials. The report outlined the following key findings from the investigation. So we got that was a summary of the report. Hunter has to fight for his right to party. That was the chief findings of the investigation. Other key findings include in early 2015, Now, this, you want to check this article out on True Pundit, because there's a lot of findings. And we're just going to breeze through these before your head explodes. But you'll get the flavor after the first couple. Early 2015, the former acting deputy chief of mission at the U.S. Embassy in Kyiv, Ukraine, George Kent, raised concerns to officials in Vice President Joe Biden's office about the perception of a conflict of interest with respect to Hunter Biden's role in Burisma. On the board, Kent's concerns went unaddressed. In the September 2016, he emphasized in an email to his colleagues, furthermore, quote, furthermore, the presence of Hunter Biden on the Burisma board was very awkward for all U.S. officials pushing an anti-corruption agenda in Ukraine, unquote. Former Secretary John Kerry had knowledge of Hunter Biden's role in Burisma's board, even though he said publicly he had no knowledge about any of that. None. Former Assistant Secretary of State for European and Eurasian Affairs, Victoria Nuland, testified that confronting oligarchs would send an anti-corruption message in Ukraine. Kent told the committees, blah, blah, blah. You got to read it. This is all inside interesting stuff, but for sure, let's get to the money. Hunter Biden was serving on Burisma's board, supposedly consulting on corporate governance and transparency. When an official, Ukraine, allegedly paid a $7 million bribe to officials serving under Ukraine's prosecutor general, Vitaly Yerema, to shut the case down, Kent testified that this bribe occurred in December 2014, 7 months after Hunter joined Burisma's board. And after learning about it, he and the resident legal advisor reported this allegation to the FBI. Thank God, the FBI. Reported it to the FBI, and they did fucking nothing. Oh, by the way, sidebar. So far in Louisville tonight, two policemen have been shot by these street vagrants, these street urchins, these gutter snipes, sewer rats. But don't worry, the FBI Louisville tweeted that they're looking into it. I tweeted to the FBI in Louisville, to their tweet, hey, be on the lookout for white supremacists. Your boss, Christopher Ray, says they're pretty dangerous. Oh, wait. my bad. So I hope they're out there looking for those white supremacists in Louisville. So far, at the time I turned on the mic, right before midnight, two cops have been gunned down, and the party was just getting started. And it is a party down there to these street urchins and these hobos. Anyway, there's more to this story. Let's go to a little, okay. How about some Pimpin' Ain't Easy? That seems to fit. There'll be a pimp story later tonight, dude. It's unbelievable. It's Pimp Thursday here. Hunter Biden is one hell of a Ukraine pimp. His dad's running for president, though. Don't worry, the FBI's on it. 2014. Guess what? Criminal statutes on the federal side only last 5 years for most crimes. So, Hunter Biden was a U.S. Secret Service protectee from January 29th, 2009 to July 8th, 2014. A day before his last trip as a protectee, Time published an article describing Burisma's ramped-up lobbying efforts to U.S. officials and Hunter's involvement in Burisma's board. Before ending his protective Secret Service detail, Hunter Biden received Secret Service protection on trips to multiple foreign locations, including Moscow, Beijing, Doha, Paris, Seoul, Manila, Tokyo, Mexico City, Milan, Florence, Shanghai, Geneva, London, Dublin, Munich, Berlin, Bogota, Abu Dhabi, Nairobi, Hong Kong, Buenos Aires, Copenhagen, Johannesburg, Brussels, Madrid, Mumbai, and Lake Como. Guess what? All on our dime. We're paying for the Secret Service. I love these Secret Service guys who hang out with these guys and then they retire and they don't say anything. like the guys who knew about the guys who knew about President Clinton flying and other dignitaries they may or may not have accompanied flying on Epstein's Lolita Express. Real stand-up guys in the Secret Service. And kids are being injured and they keep their mouth shut. Don't fucking tell me about this bullshit anymore. They just, we have to protect these guys. Yeah, you fucking did protect them while other people were getting hurt. Prove me wrong. Show me the Secret Service guys that blew the whistle on these guys. Please. They know every move of these guys. Protection racket personified. This is another example. It goes on and on and on, blah, blah, blah. In addition to over $4 million paid by Burisma for Hunter Biden, Hunter Biden, his family, and another individual received millions of dollars from foreign nationals with questionable backgrounds. Cars, women, trips, dealing and linked to Russia and Crimea. Unbelievable, really. Hunter Biden received $3.5 million wire transfer from Elena Butyrina, the wife of the former mayor of Moscow. Hunter Biden opened a bank account with Gong Wen Dong to fund a $100,000 global spending spree with James Biden and Sarah Biden. Gong Wen Dong. Is that Bill Clinton's Tinder name? Hunter Biden had a business associates with Yi Jianming, Gong Wen Dong, and other Chinese nationals linked to the communist government and the People's Liberation Army. Those associations resulted in millions of dollars in cash flow. Cha-ching! Pimping ain't easy. Just ask Snoop Dogg. Oh, my God. The story's not over. I just want to make sure. Let's go a little Nelly Pimp Juice since we're talking about pimping on the U.S. taxpayer dime. These guys are real pimps, man. Did you read that fucking list? If you're a U.S. citizen or any citizen around the world and you got to visit one of these countries, one in your lifetime, it would be considered incredible. Okay, let's go back and see where Hunter was pimping for his dad and his family. With the Secret Service in tow, by the way. Thanks a lot, Secret Service. You guys are something else. I don't give a fuck if people get mad. I'm calling it like it is. Don't sell that bullshit around here. If you see something, whatever happened to see something, say something, that was bullshit too. Because the Secret Service saw something, saw a lot of stuff. They didn't say shit. Protection rackets, what I've been talking about. This is real talk, man. Let's look at the list again. Hunter Biden received Secret Service protection on trips to multiple foreign locations. Just think about this. Moscow, Beijing. This is Hunter Biden, not Joe Biden. It's tough to score smack in all these different places, I would imagine. Maybe the Secret Service, you know, could have said something about that. What, you think Hunter was over here visiting local chapels and Buddhist monks and hanging out in their monasteries and praying with them? Yeah, right. Wherever he went, it was snowing. Moscow, Beijing, Doha, Paris, Seoul, Manila, Tokyo, Mexico City, Milan, Florence, Shanghai, Geneva, London, Dublin, Munich, Berlin, Bogota? Bogota. That's not Bogota, New Jersey. That's Bogota. The Bogota. Abu Dhabi? Nairobi, Hong Kong? Taipei? Buenos Aires? Copenhagen? Johannesburg? Brussels? Madrid? Mumbai? And Lake Como? Lake Como, that's in Italy, I believe. Wow. Where was Obama doing all this? I'm sure he's completely innocent, I'm sure. Was he asleep? or was he scoring from, was Hunter scoring for him? I'm only half kidding. Unbelievable. The Democratic lobbying firm Blue Star Strategies. Blue Star? Wasn't that the airline in Wall Street? Blue Horseshoe loves Blue Star Airlines. This is a mess. It's all over the place. You have to read it. In addition to over $4 million paid by Burisma for Hunter Biden, board membership, Hunter Biden, his family, and more. They received more. Wow. Hunter Biden paid non-resident women who were nationals of Russia or other Eastern European countries and who appear to be linked to Eastern European prostitution or human trafficking ring. Wait a minute. The pimp juice is colorblind. You're right about that, Nelly. I want to read that again, but I want to have the proper music while I read it. If you guys could indulge me for one moment, please, I would appreciate it. I got to set it up. Let's do it right. Get the background music. Hunter Biden paid nine non-resident women who were nationals of Russia or other Eastern European countries and who appear to be linked to an Eastern European prostitution or human trafficking ring.
That's the male Mariah Carey, y'all.
See, that's better. That's got a better ring to it, right? Back to the regularly scheduled program. The report also stated that the investigation found that the Obama administration knew that Hunter Biden's position on Burisma's board was problematic and did interfere in the efficient execution of policy with respect to Ukraine. Pimping ain't easy. As we'll find out later in the show. Now let's move on. That's a hell of a launch to the program. And frightening. Those guys are right down the road. Everybody around here knows what that fucking family's about. They are bad news, brothers and sisters. Bad news. We know guys who grew up with Biden. Wow. I'm surprised Biden lasted as long as he did based on many of the stories. I'm really surprised. Topic for another day. In first post Ruth Bader Ginsburg test, the GOP will ask the Supreme Court to limit Pennsylvania's mail-in voting. Remember we talked about that? They extended the mail-in voting. So what do we have for that? We got... Oh, okay. We're dancing in the dark a little bit, and it's the boss's birthday. You can't go wrong. Sorry. And what looks to be the first major test of the new post-RBG iteration of the Supreme Court, which could soon have a 6-3 conservative majority. It's really 5-3. You can't really count Roberts as a conservative. The GOP, that's like calling Bill Clinton celibate. The GOP is planning to ask the SCOTUS to review a major PA state court decision that extended the due date for mail-in ballots in a critical battleground state. The PA Supreme Court decision was handed down last week. Under the ruling, PA must accept ballots postmarked by election day so long as they arrive within 3 days. Yeah, because we don't need an election day. We can just have a fucking election week. It's stupid. Got state workers sitting around on their asses. They don't have anything to do. I think they can make sure that everything is registered by election day. Some lazy bitches up there in Harrisburg and throughout the state. No effect to any fraternity brothers that I know who may be working or may not be working for the state. It's not directed toward you or your spouses or family. To get these caveats in, these little disclaimers, I get in trouble. Ginsburg's death leaves SCOTUS with a 5-3 conservative majority. However, both Chief Justice John Roberts and Associate Justice Neil Gorsuch have in the past broken with their fellow conservatives on decisions ranging from health care to immigration. Well, with Gorsuch, You can't trust a guy who lived for such a long time. I think he's from originally Colorado. So I'm sure he's had his fair share. I think he put the high in Mile High City. I'm just surmising. So you never can trust. You never know where they're coming from. Especially if they can't find a burrito at 3 a.m. As Dems cry about the court moving to curtail voting rights, it's important to remember nobody knows how a justice will rule on any given issue till a case has been heard. So, yes. What do we have? It says we've been tainted by votes. PA Republicans argued the state Supreme Court's decision creates a serious likelihood that Pennsylvania's imminent general election will be tainted by votes that were illegally cast or mailed after Election Day. No shit. Thanks, Einstein. We can figure that out ourselves. We'll take a quick drink. We are cruising here. On a Thursday, you watch a man come unglued on the video podcast on patreon.com/truepundit and then subscribestar.com/truepundit. I get a lot of comments about that. It must be funny. I don't know. You know, you don't watch yourself in the mirror, so it's you don't understand what gestures you have. You just have your own gestures. Gestures, yeah, and gestures. Sometimes there's no difference. Usually by Thursday or Friday, I've talked so much. It's like between the show and my wife, I'm all talked out by the end of the week. Let's see. Another PA story. Let's go with a little, since we're talking about ballots and PA, and how about a little Merle Haggard. Some working man blues. We haven't heard that in a while. It's always good to listen to some Merle. We may come back to some Merle later. May surprise you guys with a really great Merle song that's underrated. Been wearing a mask the rest of my life because I'm on COVID. Unbelievable, really. In Pennsylvania, recent legal decision. Wait a minute. Headline, an obscure law in Pennsylvania could result in 100,000 mail-in ballots being thrown out without ever being counted. In Pennsylvania, a recent legal decision requires officials to throw out mail-in ballots without counting them if voters do not return them in secrecy envelopes. The Philadelphia's top elections. Yeah, I'm sure they'll be throwing out ballots, all right. Philadelphia's top election official is warning of electoral chaos in the presidential battleground state if lawmakers there do not remove a provision in Pennsylvania law that under a days-old court decision requires counties to throw out mail-in ballots returned without secrecy envelopes. It's being estimated that more than 100,000 mail-in ballots could potentially be thrown out. Got some working man blues. Some 30,000 to 40,000 mail-in ballots could arrive without secrecy envelopes in Philadelphia alone. In the presidential election, statewide, that could mean throwing out more than 100,000 mail-in ballots in the November 3rd presidential election. 2016, President Trump won the state of Pennsylvania by just 44,292 votes. So eliminating 100,000 votes could potentially swing the outcome from one candidate to the other. If the national results are close, whoever wins Pennsylvania could ultimately determine who wins the White House. Sadly, this is not the only reason to be deeply concerned about the integrity of the vote in Pennsylvania. Last week, the Supreme Court of Pennsylvania, blah, 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 you know this, about the 3 days. This song for the working man. Signs of trouble continue to pile up in other states as well. In Wisconsin, a federal judge just decided that absentee ballots can be counted up to 6 days after it's after the election. It's a election month. Yay, the Democrats, election month. Yay.
You're a real crumb bum.
Thank you, Mayor Rizzo. Also, we have millions and millions of people registering to vote without even having to come face-to-face with anyone. And Facebook has announced, oh, here we go, Facebook, oh, man, the bastion of credibility, has announced that they have already registered 2.5 Americans to vote. Yeah, the problem is they're in Pakistan. They're in Mumbai and China. It's the damnedest thing. They all have IP addresses in China and Mumbai and other dusty outposts of communism and mayhem. Facebook. Yeah, Facebook. The fucking idiot space alien looking guy. The pasty weirdo who runs Facebook. He's going to register voters. Oh, you think any of them will be GOP or Republicans? No. Yeah, they will, but he'll throw them out because they're not in the secrecy envelope. Okay, moving along. Murkowski. Have you seen this broad? Murkowski? From Alaska? The senator? She's a real pain in the ass every time the chips are down. She's like, she's a jellyfish and she acts tough and then she's a pain in the ass. But Alaska is like, I don't know what's going on in Alaska. You know, when we were growing up, when you got in trouble, not growing up, but like teens and stuff. And some of our friends' older brothers, if they got jammed up or something with the police, their parents like said, well, go to Alaska until it blows over. And then they went up there, they stayed. They're like wanted by the law in Pennsylvania and places like that in Philadelphia. But they went to Alaska. All these people never came back. It's like, I wonder how many people around the country sent their kids to Alaska when they were staring down an ugly court case. Send them to Alaska, they'll be okay. Yes, they were. They're still there. So who knows what the hell they're electing in Alaska. Murkowski now won't rule out voting to confirm Ruth Bader Ginsburg replacement. Murkowski, have you seen her? Senator Lisa Murkowski made a stunning reversal of her position of filling the vacancy left by Ruth Ginsburg. I like Ruth better than Ruth Bader. Ruth. According to a report from the Alaska Public Media, Murkowski is now saying she won't rule out voting to confirm a nominee before the election. Yeah, because they probably told her, look, Samanhead, I know everybody wants to ask the question, will you confirm the nominee, she said. We won't have a nominee yet. We don't have a nominee yet. You and I don't know who that is, and I can't confirm whether or not I can confirm a nominee when I don't know who the nominee is. This woman is a cement head. Did you just read that? She could have said the same thing in 5 words. You could tell she's a professional politician. This is one of those broads who just likes attention. You know what I mean? We all know these chicks. Murkowski was the second Republican to come out in opposition to filling the seat. Senator Mitt Romney surprised many when he said he'd not block the nomination. With Murkowski on board, Mitch McConnell has even more wiggle room to get Trump nominee confirmed. President Trump is expected to announce his nominee on Saturday. Murkowski, fuck out of here. This is one of my favorite ones of the day, the next one. Go with some Angie Stone, Just a Pimp. Slow it down for the folks out there. Seattle hires a convicted pimp as the street czar. The new policing consultant. A man who led violent protests in Seattle against the police and who was convicted of running a prostitution operation, including pimping underage girls, now has an office in the city's municipal building and a paycheck of $150,000 a year to act as a street czar to advise on reforming police. I can't believe what I just read. I need a fucking drink of water before my head explodes. I can't even believe it. Street czar. A street czar is a person who has a particular genius in a particular area. Andre Taylor told Seattle-based Como News, "I know the term street czar is quite provocative." You can't get this entertainment anywhere else, folks, in the news. Reading political news, daily news. I'm sorry, this is fucking funny with the music. Sometimes I listen to this stuff. I don't listen to all the shows because we do so many shows. But every now and then it'll be playing in the background or something to play through on the playlist. And I'm like, this is pretty good. We'll get better as time goes on. I'm still finding my legs. But I'm having fun. I hope you guys are too. The New York Post reported on the city's new hire. Taylor first found notoriety in Las Vegas, where he was sentenced in 2000 to more than 5 years in prison, serving a little more than a year. Some of the girls he pimped were underage. "I was born from the streets. I come out of the deep darkness," he said in a YouTube video earlier this year, bragging how he had children with some of the women who were with me when he was a pimp. "We decided we were going to be in this subculture like the mafia, whether you like it or not," he said of his life. "We knew you considered us the waste of the world from the beginning. We didn't care what you thought about us, just like I don't care what you think about me now." They're all fucking pimps. And now he's involved in politics. You thought he was pimping before. He's dealing with a whole new breed of hoes. Taylor also is one of the organizers of the Capitol Hill Occupy protests. Who says crime doesn't pay? Or CHOP Zone. And said protesters should demand $2 million from the city to give up the occupation. This isn't the first time Seattle paid Taylor with taxpayer funds. The Post reported that his organization, Not This Time, that's the name of it, Not This Time. Hey, you gonna go get a real job? Not this time. His organization was paid $100,000 last year to sponsor a speaker series called Conversations with the Streets. I've had, the cops should have made these fucking street urchins had conversations with the streets and pressed their face and made asphalt cookies with their face. Mayor Jenny Durkin's spokesperson, Kelsey Nyland, told the Seattle Times the contract was offered because of an existing working partnership. Taylor came to Seattle in 2016 after his brother, Che Taylor, died in a police shooting. What a surprise. Saying he was here to go to war. What? That's always good. Why did you come to our city? Was it for the fish market? Or was it for the Space Needle? Or was it for some of the lovely downtown parks? I came here to go to war. Oh, well, we don't have a section for that. I'm sorry. We don't have a film strip in the visitor center for the fuck out of here. Came to go to war. Yeah, the world owes you. You were pimping kids, you fucking lowlife. You vagabond, gutter snipe dickweed. What does it matter with the people? If that whole city burnt down Seattle, I wouldn't blink an eye. Paying a pimp who was pimping kids as a street czar. You dizzy motherfuckers. Unbelievable. and you wonder why your fucking city is an ashtray hellhole. Anyway, I hope you guys are getting ready for the weekend. Without the music, I sound a lot more angry. Headline, 80% of Americans say that post-pandemic food inflation is impacting their budget. You're damn right it is. You're goddamn right it is. We got to go to a little, them belly full, but we hungry for Mr. Marley. Food prices, man. You think it's bad now? Buckle up. While central bankers walk around with their heads in the clouds, I would say with their heads up their ass, but I guess you can't say that in print. Maybe you can say it in print. I don't know. A team at C+R Research has surveyed more than 2,000 American consumers to find out how they have adjusted to the higher food prices, which have come amid a surge in unemployment. Perfect storm of mayhem in your life. Their findings aren't all that surprising. 85% of consumers said that their budgets had been impacted by having to pay more for groceries. Obviously, but milk, eggs, and meat are the top staples that Americans are paying more for. These people aren't fucking ordering a lobster thermidor. Food isn't the only source of rising prices. Household goods like toilet paper and cleaning products have seen prices soar with a surge in demand. 75% of respondents said that these increases had impacted them. What might be surprising for some is that more than 75% of Americans are still having trouble finding cleaning products and certain food products that were readily available before the pandemic. There's a run. People are hoarding. It's fucking human nature. Hungry mob is a hungry mob. Finally, with millions of professionals, at least those who still have jobs, still working from home, more than two-thirds of respondents said they have been buying fewer hair care products. Don't fucking email me about my hair. They've been buying fewer hair care products since the start of the pandemic. While 61% of people say they've been spending less on deodorant. With nearly 90% of respondents saying they worried that prices for groceries will continue to climb, here's what weekly grocery budgets are looking like since the pandemic. There's charts. Do you like charts? There's a chart. You can read it on True Pundit. As shoppers try to navigate life during hard economic times, more than half say they're spending less on food or have changed their diet, while more than 70% of respondents say they've been stress eating more often. True. Talk to a friend tonight. She's stress eating. Don't stress eat. You know who I'm talking about. Not that I have to tell you how to eat. A lot better shape than I am. Hungry mob is a hungry mob. What else do we have? While we're finishing out the story, we'll go to, if you are hungry, we'll take you inside of an Italian restaurant. You could just think about eating, loading up on bread, bread and butter. Somebody should probably tell them, the people, to relax. Don't they know interest rates will be anchored to the zero bound until 2023? Yeah, goddamn right. We got, I don't know if it's national, but it's Jake's Burgers, and also known as Jake's Wayback Burgers. They got a place up the road. I went up there about a week ago. I talked to the manager. Dude was running a tight ship, black dude. Big dude. I said, yo, what's going on here? How's business? He said, business is booming. You know why it's booming? They lowered their prices. They lowered their prices. It's really reasonable. Far more reasonable than a lot of places who raise their prices. So they have more business than they know what to do with. That's how they're surviving. And the manager's slinging burgers instead of sitting around. And they're pumping it out. That's what he said. We just got to work. We got to pump it out. And I said, that's what it's all about, man. Times are tough. You got to buckle down. So it's more economical for families to eat out. There, at least. Other places, not so economical. It is what it is. Just a little perspective. So their supplies went up, but their prices went down. They figure, well, these people are going to have somewhere to land. Might as well be here. If things get better, they'll remember us. Certain philosophy in that, certain wisdom in that. Make music like this anymore either. We only play Billy Joel doo-wop music, sir. How many times I have to tell you? The Catalina wine mixer. Billy Joel. Okay, so we're moving along. What do we got next? China is spying on millions of people, and they aren't even in China. What a surprise. What do we have for that? Why do we have Samantha Fox in here? I like that song. Maybe we'll play it anyhow. You know, let's just go off. We don't have to have China songs, theme songs for the end. We'll just play some music that I like since it's Thursday and we're headed into the weekend. How about some, let's see. Samantha Fox. We'll definitely have to go back to that. I haven't heard her in a while. Big in the 80s. Big, big dance tunes in the 80s. Maybe we'll save that for Friday. You know, when it's like a more people are more of an, in a dance mood when they're not paying through their teeth for groceries. At least they get a little boost from the fact that there is a weekend. And it's hard to say. It's hard to cheer people up these days. But how about, you know, Jimi Hendrix's death, 50th anniversary of his death was Friday, September 18th. And I knew it after we cut the show on Thursday, about an hour. I said, tomorrow's the 18th. And I always remember that day. 1970, September 18th, 1970. So we'll go a little wild thing live in Monterey in the background. We'll speed it ahead. Or he's like tuning up. He's like out of control. Right about there. China. What a surprise. Wild thing. Strangely appropriate talking about China. Despite China's imperial ambitions, leftists all across the United States reacted in outrage and mockery when Donald Trump announced plans to ban TikTok, the Chinese-owned social media firm. Can we get Hannity? Can Hannity ban TikTok? Can Fox News ban TikTok too? I would say Hannity's TikTok has been more damaging to conservatives than the Chinese TikTok, but that's just me. According to them, the idea that China may be using TikTok for nefarious purposes is beyond the scope of reality. Yeah, because you're talking about fucking cement heads who make videos all day. These idiots in America who make videos all day of them doing nothing. You want to make a video? Make a video of you doing a fucking job. Go get a job. Make a video of that. Pose for that. Let's see how good you look after putting 12 fucking hours in on a job. Not 3 hours, 12. Go out and get a job and help your family. Bunch of fucking freeloading hobos. TikTok. You know what I'd say? If I had teenagers, right? And other folks, 20-somethings. Yeah, I got a new app. Dad's got a new app. TikTok. If you don't get a fucking job in 3 days, I'm going to TikTok your ass out of here. Okay? You bunch of cuckoo clock motherfuckers. Start putting some money on the table. Making videos, you dizzy bastards. What the hell happened to this country? My grandparents had to quit school to work. They quit school. Not college. School. Grade school. These dizzy, skinny jean fucking soy latte weirdos are making TikTok videos, sending it to their friends. I think this one's going to go viral. Yeah. I mean, what the hell? No wonder we're in a bad situation. Hey, hey, Mom and Dad, what's going on with the Wi-Fi? I can't make my TikTok. This goes on. I talk to people all the time. The kids are bitching about the Wi-Fi speed. I'll show you some speed. How fast a foot can fly up your ass. Go get a fucking job. Hope you guys are getting ready for the weekend out there. Oh, let's go back here. In a new report from Vice, China has been doing mass surveillance on millions of citizens in the U.S., U.K., Australia, and India. Oh, you think they might be using TikTok? The Chinese technology company with links to Beijing's military and intelligence agency has been compiling personal information on millions of people from the U.S., U.K., Australia, Canada, India, and Japan. The database was put together by the private firm Zhenhua Data, a Shenzhen-based company that lists the People's Liberation Army and Chinese Communist Party among its main clients. I bet you that's a fun Christmas party. Bring your own bottle? Bring your own body bag. Contained therein were the names and personal details of some 2.4 million people, including 35,000 Australians, 40,000 Britons, many high-profile figures such as senior politicians, royal family members, religious leaders, and military officers. How about some more Jimi Hendrix? He went off the rails with that. It's hard to listen and do the news. Some Day Tripper from the BBC sessions. A rare tune for sure. So these guys are compiling information on top people in the countries as well, not just dopey kids. The details include dates of birth, addresses, marital status, relatives, political associations, social media IDs. While a lot of data has been scraped from social media and other open source material, some appears to have been sourced from confidential bank records, confidential employee applications, and psychological profiles, and is believed to have been acquired via the dark web. According to ABC, one intelligence analyst described the giant global database as Cambridge Analytica on steroids. At the same time, the Telegraph reported that intelligence sources described the scale of information as frightening. Now, this is in my wheelhouse. This is what we used to do back in the day when it was the Wild West. Can't do this shit anymore. You get locked the fuck up. Unless you're in China. Or unless you're Hunter Biden. I'm sorry. I forgot to put that out there. My apologies to the Biden family. Both publications were among the international consortium of media outlets that the databases were shared with, including others in Australia, UK, US, Canada, Italy, and Germany. Professor Charles Balding, the U.S. academic and cybersecurity expert to whom the database was initially leaked, described the revelation as something akin to discovering the Holy Grail. Quote, what cannot be underestimated is the breadth and depth of Chinese surveillance state and its extension around the world. Balding wrote in a statement, the world is only at the beginning stages of understanding how much China invests in intelligence and influence operation using the type of raw data that we have to understand their targets. Yeah, where's Christopher Wray at? Oh, the FBI is worried about white supremacists, not about Chinese people stealing, threatening, building databases with the private intelligence of all U.S. citizens and high-ranking diplomats and officials. They're worried about, they're waiting for the white supremacists to show up. The 200 or 300 white supremacists in the entire country. Ray's waiting for them to go nuts. While a fucking China has their hand in every U.S. cookie jar, corporate and otherwise, stealing corporate secrets, and the FBI is playing grab ass. I forgot, I'm sorry. The intended use of the information contained in the database is not entirely clear. Well, let me tell you what they're going to use it for. They're going to sell it. Sell it to the Russians, the broker, to whomever. Banking information? How do you think that's going to happen? They'll give it to folks all over the world. Or make its way to Africa? Make its way to Pakistan? Believe me. I've seen it. I've worked it. Zenhua Data, whose official website has since been taken down, claims it provides services for military, security, and foreign propaganda and describes its mission as influencing the great rejuvenation of the Chinese nation. Nothing says rejuvenation like a little cash infusion. The company's chief executive, Wang Zufeng, has also previously used the Chinese social media app WeChat to endorse waging hybrid warfare, a term that refers to unconventional methods such as cyber attacks, fake news, electoral intervention to disrupt and disable the opponent without engaging in open hostilities. So this is basically like a private intelligence firm. This is all the stuff the U.S. intelligence apparatus does to you. Now they're pissed off that the Chinese are doing it to you as well. Well, there's no monopoly for assholes. One final drink, you listen to a little Iko Iko from the Dead, July 7th, 1989, the last concert at JFK Stadium. No, I was at this concert, bright-eyed, whole world in front of me, 21 years old, 22 years old, is that right? Yeah, just starting out in journalism. Well, I've been in journalism, but just getting into the thick of it, so. Music takes you back, very powerful music, psychologically takes you back to places. How the world has changed since 1989. Can't even describe it. How the world has changed since March. It's 2020. Forget about 1989. We appreciate the folks on Patreon.com/TruePundit and Subscribestar.com/TruePundit watching the video podcast. Thank you for your support. Jump in there, folks. Give us a hand. We could use all the help we could get, especially since we have these social media overlords screwing us at every fucking turn. It's frustrating, but as Americans, we just keep journeying onward. We will adapt. We will overcome. We will improvise, as will you, with the challenges in your life. Don't quit out there. You're being tested. Put your head down, stay focused, and don't quit. So thanks for the people that support us on there. We're not supported by millionaires and billionaires. And episode 42, the big podcast that came out a few hours ago, share that too as well. We'll do some stories on that in the coming days. We've got Moynihan and Doyle back in the mix, back in the news, on that podcast, and some shocking things, and it's a bing, bang, boom. No fucking around. 1 hour. Speaking of 1 hour, I am out of here. And we'll see you in a few hours. Before you know it, pain in the morning again. But thank you again. As I say at the end of every show, take care of yourself. Don't quit. And God bless you.
Wish a buck was still silver. It was back when the country was wrong. Back before Elvis and before the Vietnam War came along. Before the Beatles and yesterday. When a man could still work, still would. The best of the free life behind us now. And are the good times really over for good? And I will roll. Chance for the flag or the
Liberty Bell.
I wish a Ford and a Chevy would still last 10 years like they should. It's the best of the free life behind us now. And are the good times really over for good? I wish Coke was still cola and a joint was a bad place to be. And it was back before Nixon lied to us all on TV. For microwave ovens, when a girl could still cook, still would. It's the best of the free life behind us now. Are the good times really over for good? I've been rolling down a hill like a snowball headed for hell. With no kind of chance for the flag, the Liberty Bell. I wish a Ford and a Chevy would still last 10 years like they should. Is the best of the free life behind us now? Are the good times really over for good? Stop rolling downhill like a snowball headed for hell. Stand up for the flag and let's all ring the Liberty Bell. Make a Ford and a Chevy that'll still last 10 years like they should. Cause the best of the free life is still yet to come, and the good times ain't over for good.